This being the opening Lord's Day of the new year, it is one of those occasions, the only one occasion really, that I say something to you about finance. And now you will be glad to know that the average in the pastor's fund for the last year, 1966, is the highest ever known, a record. It amounts to £10, 15 shillings a week, and that is 15 shillings higher than it was in 1965. The total that has been put in the pastor's fund during my pastorate is amounting up to £12,000. And the number of sermons I have tried to preach is now 6,254. The total number of sermons, atoning away, I have tried to preach is 12,261. And now what is to be said about this statement? First of all, dear friends, I say this, I certainly do say a very warm, sincere thank you to your support of the preaching of the gospel, for that is what it really is. And I do indeed appreciate it, and I am sure that God accepts it. But what I really want to say is this. I think I must be one of the highest paid pastors in our denominational life, and I wish every pastor could have the same income, but alas, they do not. Some of them do not get a half of it. Alas, that it should be so. And another thought I have is this. I told you how many sermons I had tried to preach. But in reckoning up the number of them, there is a word in the scriptures also to put alongside it. I have tried to preach 6,254 sermons under Union Chapel roof. But the Saviour said to his disciples, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing." And I have never forgotten a remark that Mr. John Gosden made to me many years ago. And he told me that his pastor, the late Mr. J.K. Popham, said to him, when the church at Gilead sent forth Mr. Gosden to preach, his pastor said to him, "John, I want you to be more concerned about preaching the gospel than preaching sermons." And you might think that word over. There is a deep that couches beneath. It is possible, and I have no doubt it has been done tens of thousands of times, it is possible to preach a sermon by dint of intellect. And it might be well framed and the doctrine be sound. But in the preaching of it to the hearers, it would be cold, formal, no blessing attending it. And that was in Mr. Popham's mind. The great thing is this, dear friends, in preaching the gospel, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. How many sermons have come in word only, alas. But also in power. And now it is the power of God, known and felt in the gospel, that will build you up in our most holy faith and help you to live right and at the last to die right. And I must say this, you will remember I have said it every January, first Lord's Day. And now I am in my latter days and may not be upon Zion's walls much longer to preach, but especially as I preach in Union Chapel pulpit, I do say this once more, I seek not yours, but you. Not so much LSD, although that is necessary and essential, and they that preach the gospel should live of the gospel, the word of God tells us. But what I want to see is you as a people, all of you following on to know the Lord, living near to him, giving sure evidence that you do so, making known whose you are and whom you serve, and that we might see the blessed Spirit at work amongst those who gather with us, who as yet know not his holy operations. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. That is my deep down desire. And to see that word fulfilled, given to me so many years ago, for our cause of truth, the children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. And now, as the Lord shall help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the book of Joshua, chapter 23, and the 14th verse. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. The book of Joshua, chapter 23, and verse 14. This is a wonderful word which welled up in the heart of Joshua, who was coming to the close of what was his life's work as Israel's leader into the land of promise. And as it were, Joshua, now old and well stricken in years, is turning over the last page of his life's history. And he is speaking on God's behalf. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. But ere his life's work is done, he desires to speak on God's behalf. And I want to look at this subject from just two viewpoints of it. One is a searching consideration, and the second viewpoint is a solemn challenge. I must say, as I have said it quite a few times in this pulpit, I do like the challenging nature of the truth. And I have sometimes felt we ought to know more about it. I mean more about it, not only as to the reality of it, but the practice of it. And to put people to the test and speak on God's behalf, even as Joshua does here. And he says to all Israel gathered together, ye know. There was no uncertainty about it. Ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls what God told you as a people years ago that he would do for you in bringing you into this land. He has not failed to do it in all that he promised you. And ye know. And now that brings people up before God to stand there, as it were, on their own initiative, and not to forget his goodness which has passed before them in life's way, but to humble themselves under his mighty hand and to acknowledge it. Dear friends, there is a challenge in the truth. Truth, known and felt, is nothing whatever to apologize for or to be ashamed of. But you can speak the truth. Speak the truth in love. And it will be for the honor of God to do it. And if people have got ears to hear it, it will do them good in listening. And now let us look at what I said was a searching consideration. You may say, Joshua was speaking on his own behalf. How can it be a searching consideration to us living all these years, hundreds of years since Joshua finished his life's journey? What has it got to do with us? Look you, it may have got much more to do with you than you realize, because it might even be that this day you are going the way of all the earth. And where are you going? It may be a grave will be digged, and all that is mortal of you will be laid therein ere another Sabbath day should dawn. And the preacher will say, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, you are gone the way of all the earth. Where will your spirit be? And now Joshua could speak very feelingly about this. And when he spoke about it, I do not think he had any trembling. He had a sweet, blessed reality in his breast that he was going the way of all the earth. But he had got this assurance, I am but a stranger here. Heaven is my home. Earth is but a desert drear. Heaven is my home. Danger and sorrow stand round me on every hand. Heaven is my fatherland, and heaven is my home. And now there are some of us under Union Chapel roof who can say amen to the hymn writer's declaration. But this is the truth I want you to consider. And behold, this day, every day that you awake, open your eyes upon a new day, as it will be, you could say, and behold, this day, I am going the way of all the earth. And that is, I am journeying on to the end of my allotted span in life, the day that will inevitably dawn when I shall step out of time into eternity. And what then? And now everything hinges on what then. Pause, my soul, and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union with the church's living head? Oh, the mercy to have some well-grounded evidence that you are following on to know the Lord and being led into the truth. But if still a total stranger to Christ's precious name and blood, thou art on the brink of danger. Canst thou face a holy God? You cannot, eh, but you must. Think and tremble. Death is now upon the road. This day I am going the way of all the earth. You see, dear friends, dear young friends especially, when you journey about in the cars, you come up against a notice. One-way street. And that is just what life is. One-way street. Job says, when a few years are passed away, I shall go whence I shall not return. Do remember it, that life is a one-way street. And you are going the way of all the earth. Even the babe in the cradle. Soon after it is born. And such a sweet picture to look at. A little babe. If it could speak, it could use this language. I am born to die. This day, I am going the way of all the earth. I know not for how long my journey through life is to be. And now it is a searching consideration. And you do need to weigh up where you are going. And now let us get right down to bedrock and seek to search out something profitable. It is not only a truth that affects a babe, it affects the little ones and the children and the youths and the maids and the young men and women. Yes, and those who are on in life's afternoon. And many of us who are in life's evening time, we have to give our thoughts to it. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And now you do want something sure about that. It is not enough just to be a chapel goer and think you can be sure about it, or a church goer either. No, no. Churches and chapels are built for the preaching of the gospel, but the great thing is what goes on between you and God as you worship therein. You know one of my phrases, and it is a scripture phrase too. Therefore you should even more heed it. Because it is to do with the Spirit of God and not just what HD declares. You read that the Lord Jesus came at such a time to see what every man had gained by trading. And now, heaven is a marketplace. And when you gather to worship God, if you gather there aright, you desire to trade in heaven's marketplace. If you listen to the morning service when the brethren were knocking at mercy's door, what were they doing? I did not hear it, but I am sure that they were asking God for this and that to do with their souls. And many of you listened and you said, amen, amen. Many times as you listen to the brethren asking of God that the blessing of the Lord might be upon them and upon you. And now, that is what I mean by trading in heaven's marketplace. You come up and feel you are not just in Union Chapel and to do with bricks and mortar. No. We're all here present before God to hear those things commanded thee of God to tell us. I seek and hope to find a portion for my soul. And now, that is what it is to do business in heaven's marketplace. And you know, on market days, there are many people that go around and do no business, and they just clutter up the marketplace. But there are others who go in and they make for a certain place because they have got something in their minds that they wish to attend to, some business, and they want to go straight forward with it and not be loitering, no, and hindering other people doing business. And behold, this day, I am going the way of all the earth. And now, does this searching consideration, as I said it was, search you? Or do you wish the pastor would go on and take up some other line of thought so that you might not feel uneasy like some of you may do? It is searching you then, but you are not willing to be searched. And as yet, you are not at all concerned that you are going the way of all the earth, and yet you may reach the end of the way you are going today, tomorrow. It could easily be. And behold, this day I am going. Mark that word, going. You see, every day you're going on, and there is no return. Now and again people say, and they say it with a good meaning, oh, if I could only live my life over again. But they would need to do it with the experience they have in their minds when they make the comment that they would like to live it over again. And they think if they could do it, that they would live differently and be more in earnest about eternal realities, because they see so much wherein they have failed to be what they desire to be and to do. Hey, but I told you, life is a one-way street. You're going on, you're going on. And the clock keeps ticking away the moments. You are going to the grave. Yes, and you're going beyond it. You are going to heaven or to hell. And now that is a searching consideration. And how many of you say, let me amongst thy saints be found. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, and grant I may know the way I am going is that way wherein thou dost lead thy people, of whom it is said, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Let us look now at the second viewpoint. And I said, that was a solemn challenge. And while it was made to Israel of old by Joshua, it is still very apposite, yea, pertinent, to all of you following on to know the Lord. Nowadays, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort in the scriptures might have hope. And says dear Joshua, he was a very noble character, was Joshua. If you read his life right through, you dear young people can help the pastor here. You read the life of Joshua, and if you can, you find some flaws in it. that are recorded by the Spirit of God, you will find he was indeed a noble character, raised up by God to do a specific work, and he must have lived near to God, and there was a need be for him to do so, to do the great work that he was ordained to do. Because I like to think of it like this. You read about Joshua, first of all. Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man. And he was made Moses' minister. And that means from that time on, until Moses was taken to heaven, Joshua was intimate with Moses, and he knew much of his inner life as regards the sanctuary and as regards Moses' great work to lead Israel through the wilderness. And I am sure of this, that Joshua never forgot what Moses told Israel at the end of his own life. You have been rebellious ever since I knew you. And now here is Joshua, a young man, raised up to go on with Moses' work when Moses' work is done, to lead Israel into the land of promise. And what did I read to you? Oh, it is good reading. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. And Joshua was helped of God to do that great work. And he says, ye know, I challenge you to lodge any complaint that you can make against Israel's God in all his dealings with you. And remember, there were 2 millions of them. And he says, ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls what God has been to you. And some of you know it too. You know what God has been to you. And some of you ought to say a little more about it than you are ready to do. But this is the truth. I challenge you. Ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls what God has been to you. How good, how faithful, how kind, how forbearing, how long-suffering. And have you not found him to be a God ready to pardon? Yes. And this you know, not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. I do love the great doctrine, and it is a reality, as every true doctrine must needs be, the doctrine of the immutability of God. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Not one thing hath failed. And now go back to what I said. Joshua, as a young man, being made Moses' minister, he had seen much that God had been pleased to do in the wilderness wanderings. And he had seen how Moses was sometimes hard put to it to deal with the children of Israel. But Joshua appeals to the Israelites to go back and call to remembrance wherein God did not fail. And think of what an Israelite indeed could remember if he sat down before God to do it. And whenever you would remember what God has done for you, you must sit down before God to do it. You cannot do it just casually. No, no. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God and seek his divine aid to do it. I think much nowadays of what David said at the end of his life. Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And now, many of those who were Israelites indeed could call to remembrance, and I have no doubt they did so and told their children how they gathered manna day by day and drank of the water that flowed from the rock that followed them, how they came out of Egyptian bondage, or at least their fathers did. It was the children that went in and possessed the land, and how God dealt with them in the wilderness for their unbelief, so that the fathers could not enter in to the land of promise because of unbelief. And the word of God tells us, so the children went in and possessed the land. There was much that was wonderfully instructive and interesting and profitable to meditate on and to speak one to another about, as grace was given in how God dealt with Israel of old in the wilderness. And then those who were in the land of promise could remember. Very sad it would be if they ever forgot it. But you and I dare not pick up a stone to fling at any of the children of Israel in regard to it. And now think how those children of Israel crossed Jordan. When the priests went down into the riverbed with the Ark of the Covenant upon their shoulders and stood there until all Israel had passed clean over Jordan. Fathers, mothers, and children, little ones, babes that were carried, they went through the flood on foot, went on dry land, and Jordan's banks were there, but the water stood up on either side like a wall until all Israel had entered into the land of promise. Then the priest came up out of the riverbed, and the waters of Jordan returned again. And now that was something never to be forgotten. And there were many more things as regards the taking of the land of promise, how God went before them. And one thing you must keep in mind as you read the record of it, you will find again and again a word like this: the Lord fought for Israel, and therefore the victory was indeed assured. The Lord fought for Israel. And now, says Joshua, you know all about this. You know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. And now let us see if you and I can learn a lesson or two for our own spiritual profit and our soul's peace. There are many of you under Union Chapel roof who know something about it. God has granted you the mercy to be numbered with the Israel of God. You are not all in the same stages in life's journey. Some are only in life's morning and have only lately entered thereupon. Some are in the midst of life's battlefield in life's afternoon, and some are journeying on in life, even in time. But the heading of this page is very striking. Recapitulation of blessings of God. And so it is on the next page also. And now, dear friends, I just ask you, in all sincerity and affection, don't you think you and I ought to be more often engaged in this blessed business? Recapitulation of blessings of God. Count your many blessings, if you can. You can never arrive at the sum. Count your many blessings, count them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. No Israelite indeed, no sinner taught of God ever reached the total yet, or ever will. But there should be this recapitulation of blessings of God. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And that is the business they were engaged in. Recapitulation of blessings of God. And it can be done before the church. Yes. Come and hear, all ye that fear God. I will tell you what he hath done for my soul. And what has he done? As you listen to it, it will be just this recapitulation of blessings of God. And now, looking at the subject from yet another viewpoint of it, not one thing hath failed is the keynote of Joshua's declaration. Not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. And now, of any of you, this Sabbath afternoon, I am speaking on God's behalf. I say, have any of you any complaint to lodge against God that in some matter you feel he has failed in his dealings with you? No, no. This is the truth of the matter. You have failed to understand the why and wherefore of his dealings with you. In his time, his way, still pray, for God will all explain, nor shalt thou seek his face in vain. And how good it is that as you think of this word, ye know by experience. That old scamp Laban said to Jacob, I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And now we can use that language from a much better viewpoint, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth can speak. Many of you and I can say, I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me, and not one thing hath failed. The thing is impossible for it to fail if it is to do with God. I told you the immutability of God. Look at some things. And you, dear young people, do you listen? There is not one thing you can think of under the sun but what that thing will fail. In your leisure time, you think it over. And look round the earth and consider all things under the sun. I say, there is not one thing you can light upon with your eyes or think upon but what that thing will, sooner or later, fail. And if you like to look in a concordance and take up the word faileth and go through the word of God, you will see how much there is beneath the sun, that there is abundant evidence that it does fail. You read, their hearts failed them for fear, as they surveyed the things which are coming on the earth. And another lament is, kinsfolk have failed me. And Joseph said to the Egyptians, if your money faileth, and money does fail, and so we have got in our land a credit squeeze, so-called, because money faileth. Yes. Another thing is, the psalmist said, my strength faileth. Yes. And it is also recorded, wisdom faileth. Then are they brought to their wit's end, margin, you know what it is, all their wisdom is swallowed up. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. The throne of grace does not fail when you approach it. But the works of man inherit, as is just, their maker's frailty, and return to dust. But truth forever stands secure. Oh, it is good, dear friends, young and old, to have to do with our God. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today, and forever. And they who once his kindness prove, find it everlasting love. All to do with our most holy faith is built on that foundation, that in the working out, not one thing will fail. The throne of grace will not fail. It is still available for you to draw near to God as he reigns on it. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The covenant of grace will not fail. You may feel your life at the present time, as you are journeying along it, is very complicated. And you may be saying, O Lord, we know not what to do, but our eyes are up unto thee. But this will not fail you where you are in life's journey. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant, and he will show them it is ordered in all things. And these things you are passing through, poor sinner, ordered in all things, and sure that in the ultimate issue, you will come out on the right side, yea, on the side of God, and know what is declared. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Yes, it is impossible for the covenant of grace to fail. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. I've no time, only just to give you hints, for I must come to the amen. But you can think of this that will not fail, and that is the fountain open for sin. It is still open. Yes, and still this word is to be read in the sacred pages, and it will never be abrogated in that which it declares. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Another thing The precious promises in the Word of God are all yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And they will not fail. And if God has given you a precious promise, do you remind him of it, as it were? I say that with great reverence. God does not need reminding, but that is our language, our way of expressing it. Do say to him what David did. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. And that word, you will find, will not fail in what it has said to you, to encourage you to hope in God. No, no, the thing is unthinkable. The word of the Lord endureth forever. And then I might add, the gospel table is still spread, and that will not fail you. God in his mercy still provides living water to drink, and bread to eat, of which if any man shall eat thereof, he shall live forever. Yes, still the gospel is preached, and it will be, till time shall be no more, let the devil do what he may, to silence men ordained of God to preach it. The gospel will be proclaimed, north, south, east and west, to do that work God has ordained it to do, for it cannot fail in that which he has purposed, that his dear people down through the ages shall be made manifest. And the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. Just another thought, and that is this: the providence of God cannot fail. And now you might scrape the bottom of the barrel. You might hold up the cruse to the light and see just a drop of oil, but it will not fail. Hold it up to the light tomorrow, there will be still another drop there. Scrape the bottom of the barrel, still you will find a handful. Yes, the providence of God is wonderful. And John Flavel says, he who would watch the providence of God shall never lack a providence to watch. And what do you find as you watch? His name shall be called Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Not one thing will fail. As regards, bread shall be given, water shall be sure. And they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And I am bound to tell you this to be faithful. If you are numbered with the Israel of God, God will say to you, you only of all the people on the earth have I known. Therefore will I punish you when you need it. Just as fathers worth the name must punish their children, that they may be trained up in the way in which they should go. Sometimes you will find the rod will not fail. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. And he says, I will bring you under the rod into the bond of the covenant. And so when trouble comes upon us, if you do not behave as you should do, God will bring you back to what is good behavior. And he will not fail to do that, because he is your Father in heaven, and you are his child. His chastenings therefore prize the privilege of a saint. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed. Of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you, all are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. And so, as you and I go forward into this opening year, 1967, let us have for our watchword, as it were, he hath delivered, He doth deliver, and we trust he will yet deliver us. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, the communion of the Holy Spirit be upon us and all who love the truth everywhere. Amen and amen.